Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Drive Through HR. Brian, William, and Nisha coming to you live every day talking about HR things. And we're here live at the Westin in Dallas, Texas, and it's Park Central Westin, and we're here at Summer Brand Camp. And a lot of folks, 300 folks from mainly restaurant, hospitality, restaurant industry are here, and we've got people that are speaking, helping, doing good things at a service event this morning. So it's just a great conference. So you should check it out. Hashtag possibly I can't remember what it is. They just changed it, so it's S Brand Camp, I think. But check it out, Summer Brand Camp. So let's get to our guest because I think he's going to make all of us brighter, a little more intelligent in this conversation today. So I'll set the bar a little bit high on that. So. Jason, welcome back to Drive Through HR.
Thank you. I appreciate being here. Love the pressure you're putting on me from the get-go. Let's see if I can live up to it.
Dude, you're a pressure guy. So, you know, I knew you could handle it. So anyway, introduce yourself to our family of listeners, and then we'll get into the big questions after that.
All right. So hello to the family of listeners. A few people may know me from my previous life, but I am the CEO of Ajax Workforce Marketing. We are a branding agency. We're focused on employee brand advocacy. We get employees and companies working together to tell a consistent story about what life at the company is like. What a novel concept. And that's what I do.
Well, that sounds good. So there was, bottom line is, what is, because I asked you this a few years ago, what this question was, and so I think it's worth asking again for our listeners, what exactly is workforce marketing?
Yeah, so, it is a partnership between employees and companies to deliver an employer brand message, right? And my background is talent development and communications and leadership development. And there's this issue that's gone back since the dawn of time that corporate leaders have around how do I get my employees to care? How do I get them to be aware of business development opportunities? How do I get them to be on script at a trade show? How do I get them to engage, right? And social media makes that issue acute because now every one of your employees, especially from a recruiting standpoint, is on the front lines. We've got data that shows between 35 and 75% of candidates are looking up the hiring managers of our clients before coming in for interviews. We do a lot of work with LinkedIn. The data around people looking up not company information, but specific individual people information before applying or in the consideration phase of their job search, it's extraordinary and it's growing. So workforce marketing, right, when I would do development, the idea was, let's get everybody better and let's kind of help them be better professionals, and that existed in a silo, and then there was a different silo for recruiting and then a third silo for marketing. But with social media, everything all kind of bundles together. So the real crux of workforce marketing is, can we help employees see how and why leveraging the brand helps them professionally? And if we're successful in making the case to enough employees, in the aggregate power of them sharing that message also yield a benefit to the company, which would in turn flow back to them. That's what workforce marketing is about. That's really the power of it.
So when we, what comes to mind is And I'm not, like I said, I'll say my opinion for or against how much energy gets put into what, you know, into kind of what you're teaching companies to do, you go buy a car, right? This is one of the things that I do, I've done for years immediately, is I go buy a new car and on
immediately,
that car,
every day for years. Like, you know what, I'm just going to go buy a car.
Every day, right?
Hey, Brian, what are you doing,
after
the conference today?
I'm going to go buy a car. So when I bought a car, and I see it every day, let me rephrase that. So I see this all over the place, and I'm kind of, it interests me socially, a social experiment. But when you buy a car, usually they've got stickers all over that car, the side, the back, license plate of who that dealership is. And the majority of the population does not remove that, and they keep it on there for, you know, that's just out of choice, don't think about it, whatever. And so all of these brands, these car dealership brands, get free advertising for, like, the life of the ownership of that car and beyond of whoever they did that deal with, right? So, and it's amazing that people are like, I didn't, like, get a discount for leaving that on there, so I'm just going to take it off. So I take that off there. Anything about the dealership comes off the car, even if I like
absolutely.
Like, and so I don't, the majority, I ask that question quite a bit, and the majority are like, I never thought about it, I don't do it.
Right.
So to me, if you are out there, like, really having, like, all your employees, like, really trying to teach them to be evangelists for the company,
Let me jump in because I love the fact that you use that analogy, and it's
thank you.
It's so well, you're right, because it's such a I love you. I mean, and I've known you for a long time, and you're great. But like, if we actually start to pick it apart, which I'm about to do, we'll realize what a ridiculous analogy it is, right? Like, here you have. Your car, there's no reason to pimp out your dealership, right? And it's not like I've ever, or I think anybody has ever, you know, looked at the car in front of them and seen the license plate holder and be like, oh my God, I have to go there to buy my next car. Thank God I saw that license plate holder. That's, wow, that was effective marketing. But when you talk about employees, first of all, their salaries are dependent on the profits of the company, right? So they have a vested interest. Like, who doesn't want to come to work and work with their friends? Who doesn't want to come to work and have a fun time? Who doesn't want to be challenged? Who doesn't want to we actually call it the Friday night problem. Friday night, you're out with your friends. You're introduced to somebody new. They say, what do? Your problem is you now have 15 seconds to be as interesting as you think you are when you look at yourself every morning in the mirror. And what do most people say? Oh, I'm an accountant. Oh, I do this little blog radio show. Oh, it's complicated. Oh, you know, I do two things. Oh, you want to know what I do or what I want to do? Like, how awesome would it be if you just had a simple answer to that question? So this isn't about having your employees pimp out your company. Like, we don't push anything. It's no, everything has to be opt-in, and it has to solve an employee's problem, and specifically this one, right? Because if I told you I am an engineer for Lockheed Martin, or if I told you I'm an engineer for Google, simply stating the company that I work for tells you a lot of my story. It tells you what space I'm in. It gives you a clue as to whether I'm a software engineer or a mechanical engineer. It may tell you something about my politics. There's so much of that story that now just gets boiled down and told so simply that we now have an opportunity to take the remaining 15 seconds of the story and actually be interesting and be interested, right? And you would take the whole thing to the next level. So the notion of workforce marketing isn't about extending the brand's reach by slapping your logo on individual employees' LinkedIn profiles. Quite the contrary. It's about building up your employees by showing them how the company's brand can work to their benefit and letting them opt into that. It would be like your dealership telling you, hey, you know what? We're going to offer free car washes on Saturday, and we're going to have a little barbecue every Saturday. Come by. And, in fact, if you want to bring a friend, then your friend will wash their car for free too. There's a real value there. And there's no pressure, and nobody has to do it. And those who do, they do it because they believe it, and they believe in the value, and that becomes a sustainable, powerful opportunity for true engagement, both with employees and with your employees' networks. So I love the analogy because I mean it's nutty to me that in business that's where our brains go. Is I'm just gonna pimp out my employees and push the brand message, and that's 180 degrees from the message that that we work on our clients to deliver to their employees.
So it sounds, I mean, I guess what I've the big kind of aha on what you just shared was the fact that you definitely have to stay centered in what's in it for me, right? At the end of the day, yes, it's a salary. Yes, it's benefits. Yes, it's, confidence that I've got a place to go every day to make a living and have a career. But at the end of the day, there's other things that when you're out there, being able to concisely say, yes, this is what I do, and here's what we do, and here's the value we add to society, that helping people communicate that effectively and feel good about it keeps it central to what's in it for me, right?
And what's the alternative? I'm a passionate, innovative problem solver with 20 years experience building high-functioning, dynamic teams. Who gives a shit?
Fair statement.
Right?
Totally. No, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, and that's unfortunately because you get that. And so I think that's a great point and actually a good segue to my next question is, where does a practitioner even begin to start thinking about workforce marketing? How do we even redesign what we've done forever, right? The institution. How do you attack the institution of the workflow that we know is talent acquisition today?
Yeah, so that's a big, big question. I actually I wrote a blog post on it not too long ago. On LinkedIn, it's called "If You're Such a Great Company, Why Aren't Your Employees Talking?" And it goes beyond. At a very high level, it actually goes beyond just the recruiting process. I mean, what you're talking about is recalibrating the employer-employee value proposition, right? Because if you think of the car bumper analogy, a lot of companies are set up like that, right? It's very transactional. You do the job, you get paid. You're going to clock out. If you don't clock out, you get overtime. If you're exempt, it's all rule-based, very transactional. And we're moving to a place that the workforce is far more contingent. It's far more fluid. We're seeing agency models pop up all over the place where you might have a long-term gig, but it's as an agent. It's a freelancer. It's not as an employee. So the idea of marketing to your employees and getting them to opt into your value prop, this is deep, and it gets to the very DNA of what companies are. And maybe that's a different show, or maybe tonight after the conference, because I'm here with you, we can go grab a drink. And if we have nothing else to talk about, we can talk about that. But in terms of recruiting, there's some very specific things. Right? There's a change management piece to all of this, and so there's going to be some politics, and part of the answer is, HR needs to work better with marketing, and there needs to be a process for getting internal communications, MarCom, and digital, and branding, and recruiting, and talent dev all in a room together. But the stuff that you're going to talk about when you're in the room boils down to just a few things. And I highlight these in the blog post, but one of them is metrics. And with metrics, it's really simple. Most of the metrics that companies use to measure marketing impact are reach metrics. How many people saw our tweet? How many people saw our ads? What was the click-through rate of our direct mail campaign? Similarly, even in recruiting, it's the same thing. It's reach metrics. How many people did we put into our funnel? How many people from our funnel got interviewed? What was the close rate on that? How many people accepted the offers, right? It's reach. Workforce marketing is really based on resonance. So there's a question, how do you measure resonance? And at Ajax, we've got an algorithm that looks at people's online identities, not what they do, because you can kind of game that, but when they write a profile on LinkedIn or about me or even on Facebook, like what are they actually saying about themselves? So we've got a way of measuring that. Are they professional? Are they engaged with the brand? Have they integrated the messaging into their own personal brand? To give us a sense of how that brand resonates with employees. So that's the first thing that really needs to change is recruiting needs to add a resonance metric to what they do. And then the second thing, right, they've got, you're going to have these weird meetings, you're going to be talking about all kinds of stuff. The second thing that's really important is that there's clear ownership of each step of the process. Because if you're going to do this, part of what needs to change is the brand needs to be, the employer brand, needs to be put into language that employees can understand. You know, like I can tell you where the, you know, pick employer brand A, right? Like where the it's people over profits, it's the courage to make the right decision, it's where loyal people come, you're gonna have fun at work, or whatever it is. But rarely is that statement something that individuals can communicate conversationally. It's written for the company, by corporate, for corporate to be pushed out. So when you think about that process, well, who owns that? Is it recruiting? Is it marketing? Is it branding? Somebody. But then you think of the next step of the process. How are you going to get that message out to your employees? Now it's an internal communications issue. And Marcom's going to want a piece of it because there's a branding component to it. Right? Digital is going to want a piece of it because you're going to be communicating and sharing information to people and getting them to share that information outward on social. So there's going to be a lot of hands in that pie. Recruiting, really, they've got to make a play to own this. Right? Like everybody's going to have their input, but you need to be very clear on why recruiting is going to own this, because recruiting is going to benefit from this. And then the third part is, you know, once you've got those brand statements that people can log into or, you know, kind of lock into, and you've got that internal communication campaign where you've made the case and helped employees understand what's in it for them, now there's some training and some activation that needs to happen. Like you actually need to give people an hour and a half or 2 hours to make changes to their profiles, to get to know what tools you're using, to your editorial calendaring tools that you're using to allow people to share content. Well, who owns that? The line manager, who they work for? Recruiting, talent development, who owns the corporate university? And so those are two very key challenges that recruiting needs to be focused on. And you'll notice, like, both of them are in addition to. Like, I didn't talk about any specific activity that recruiting is currently doing, because that doesn't change. This changes the way in which those activities get done. It doesn't change the actual activities that they need to do.
So how do we make this a little more consumable for, like I said, we've got, you know, the majority of people that listen are practitioners around the world, right? So how do they take what we're talking about today and what they can read about the approach on this and take it to their leadership and have it in bite-sized pieces enough to even begin to, like, redefine, to integrate and redefine this into the actual business? Right, because this is the bigger thing on this is you're now kind of hitting an intersection of the business is operating with the marketing, with the branding, with the recruiting, because it ultimately is the brand.
Yeah, no, I think it's a really good question, and I think there's two things, very specific things, that a practitioner in recruiting needs to be aware of. I think what I'm saying, there's probably a lot of heads nodding. They're like, we want our employees, right? Because we know if we recruit the friends of our employees, we get a better quality candidate. They stay longer. Productivity goes up. There are all kinds of metrics around why it's a good idea to recruit people who already have some relationship with current employees. So usually when we're talking with recruiting, they get the concept right away. And where it gets daunting is, like, how do you start? So let's make it really simple. You need two relationships. You need relationships with your peers across silos, and you need relationships with the executives so that you can get sign-off for the program. And each one comes with a very specific activity, right? So what do you do to engage people across silos? It is so simple. You pick up the phone, or you send an email, or you send a tweet, and you tell them what you want to do, right? You bypass all the managers. You call the person in internal comms. You call somebody in branding and marketing. Say, hey, I'm in recruiting. Increasingly, we're seeing an overlap between what our employees say and the power of recruiting. But I imagine that when our employees speak outwardly to the outward world, you probably have a vested interest in that too, because they are inherently marketing our company. I'd love to go to lunch with you. Let's go grab a cup of coffee and just talk about it so that we can make sure that we're asking our bosses for the same thing. That's number one. And it is that simple. Those meetings have, there's no expressed deliverable. You're not, you just want the relationship so that in the future when the boss green lights a program like this and pushes it down and you end up in a meeting with 14 other people trying to make this happen, you actually know the people at the table and you can work with them. Right? That's it. Very, very simple. The other thing is you're going to want some metric to show senior leadership to get them to see the value. The one that we use, we've got our metric around employee brand advocacy, where we'll walk into an organization, we do our assessment, and we say, here's how many of your people are actually engaged with your brand. Right, so every once in a while, we'll do an industry-wide study. Last fall, we looked at the top 25 best places to work. And I know we both know China Glumman, and I love her, and I love what she's doing at this organization. When we looked up the employees at the top 25 best places to work, companies that make an investment in their brands, in their employer brands, they have people on payroll who do nothing but promote their employer brands. We found that upwards of 80% of their employees socially were completely disconnected from the employer brand. And to be able to show that, jaws drop. So, you know, if you show that to a manager and say, listen, this is, do we want engaged employees? Do we want our employees carrying the message forward? Do we want them, do we want to hire, what are we spending in programs to get individual employees to push out a recruiting message or a job opening? And, you know, hey, we're about to walk into an 80% failure rate because I can show you that 80% of our employees just don't, they're not even thinking about it. That's something you can do that will capture people's attention. And if you do those two things, then you can sit back and you build relationships across the silos and you find a way to get that data to the powers that be, and you can sit back and wait because the problem will begin to fix itself.
Switch gears on you to like something that just went down a few weeks ago was a big deal. And it definitely equates to the recruiting function and the brand. And so what are thoughts and how do people even start to figure out what to do with like Zappos eliminating the use of job postings?
Right. Right. Because Zappos actually they're a poster child for doing this. You know, they'll post a video. Their employees are, you know, they all have their shake weights, their whatever they're doing. They got the streamers and all that. When you're doing that, it's inherently attractive. Like that's our vision of the future too. Right? Not that I don't know that job postings go away for all positions and all companies, but the idea of workforce marketing, they embody it. Right? The whole idea that the other term that we use is perpersonal. Right? That our worlds are not in boxes anymore. It's not like you go to work and you're professional and you come home and you have a personal life. These two things are integrated more than ever. So what's great about Zappos is those videos and the blog posts and all the stuff they do, they show what life really is like at the company. And the power of that is that as an outsider, I can see if I belong very, very quickly or not. And if I belong, I want to work there. And as soon as I want to work there, I don't need a job posting. All I need is an email address of a recruiter who I can send a resume to or direct to a LinkedIn profile or say this is what my skills are, who's going to let me know if there's space for me in that organization. And, you know, at a certain level, I know there's a lot of practitioners listening, but, you know, anyone who's listening who has reached an executive level is going to know the best jobs are not the ones that you apply for cold. They're the ones where you tailor your resume for the opportunity after you've had the conversation where somebody said, oh, yeah, we want you here too. I just need a resume that looks like this so that we can get you through the ATS. Right? It's the world is still relationship-driven. And ironically, the more commoditized things become and the more like numbers we are, the more relationships matter because you've got to be able to break through that clutter. So I love what Zappos did. I think it's a huge step. I think they're way ahead of the curve. It's going to be a long time before that kind of behavior is the norm. But the idea behind it, the idea that showing off your culture and engaging your employees can be so powerful that you can actually eliminate job postings. I mean, let's talk ROI. I mean, it's not like they have to pay their employees. They're not pimping their employees out. Their employees are loving life. All they have to do is take a video camera, show the world what's actually true, and poof, you have marketing punch. It's pretty powerful.
Oh, huge. So, you know, I had this conversation earlier today, but they're Zappos, right? It's really not that much risk for them.
Oh,
so
come
what's
on.
Your response to that?
Really? Oh, but there's Zappos. Oh, but they're a different industry. Oh, but you haven't done it before here. Oh, but please. That's a non-starter. That's no different than I'm going to start working out tomorrow. Or, I mean, you know, excuses are easy. It's just an excuse, right? Yes, there's Zappos. They didn't start with this decision, so you're not going to eliminate job postings tomorrow because you're not where they are in their learning curve. You're further back. But you know what? Go do what they did years ago. Like they, once upon a time, they made a first step too. So don't give me there's Zappos, right? Let's just figure out where you are in the learning curve and then take that next step. And if your next step isn't eliminating job postings, great. You know what, Brian, we're at a conference. We're at Summer Brand Camp. You know, HR and marketing are here together. Here's a conference that part of the power of this conference is we get marketing expertise into the hearts and minds of HR. We get HR expertise into the hearts and minds of marketing. Maybe your first step is to come to a conference like this. But whatever it is, we take that first step.
And I agree. So there you go. But I thought it was interesting that, you know, again, because there's – and what's interesting is that I've heard other companies that are like, I don't mess with job postings, right? I mean, it's really more about we go out and actually work and are part of the community, right? Because a lot of it is coming down to, you know, what you put in is what you get out. And a job posting, if you throw it out there and you wide net it and, you know, it's just not a good, efficient, you know, return on investment on what you get in talent. If you're growing talent and you're growing your organization and it's really a core fundamental aspect of what you're doing, it just seems odd that you'll throw a job posting out that a lot of times isn't well written.
Right.
And expect and really truly expect to get high quality, you know, perfect people for what you're looking for to come in, right? And by perfect, I mean all the qualifications. And so,
well,
yeah.
So
I mean, it's just one of those.
Well, think about it. Think about it for just a second, right? Because the way in which you do things matters. And your job postings, success rates on job postings are all about reach. There's zero resonance here. So, yeah, I'm going to go back to what I said in terms of the first step. Get a resonance metric into the consciousness of the company and engage marketing and engage recruiting, right, and focus on that. Because if you break down the job posting, right, let's look at what you're doing. You want to hire a go-getter. You want to hire a leader. You want to hire somebody who's going to, you know, bring an A game and up the level of everybody at your current company, right? And yet the way
right.
in which you're recruiting is to put an ad out there and see who clicks it. Like, don't you want, like, what is that what a leader would do? Is that what a go-getter would do? Or would a go-getter actually say, hey, this is an interesting company. I just saw some content they created. I saw something. I'm going to go look up the author. I'm going to go contact the author. I am going to do some research. I am going to reach out to them proactively. The behaviors that somebody engages in the job search are indicative of how they will act on the job. So, you know, change it.
Well, that is perfect, man. We are out of time. That was like such a fast 30 minutes. So where can folks connect with you on social? And then we're going to roll. We're out of time.
Seiden, S-E-I-D-E-N. Look at them. It doesn't matter the platform. That's where I'm at.
Well, perfect, man. Thank you very much, guys. We're out for the day.
It might seem crazy what I'm about to say.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.